All right, I'm a little bit pissed right now. I wanted to recap my brother's wedding, and I spent 45 minutes talking about it. And my fucking iPhone was interfering with the input the whole time. I had it sitting next to me, and since I don't monitor my input, I didn't know it was doing it. But you know how cell phones can interfere with your stereo and stuff like that? Maybe you don't, but the iPhone does. And I'm just really pissed because it was sitting on the desk where I always keep it, and it was just making this nasty old beep every time, every minute it seemed, and it made my audio unusable. I tried to put a filter on it to try and take it out, but nothing would work. So now I've got to redo this whole thing, and you know, maybe it'll be better the second time around. But I didn't want to do it twice. I wanted to do it once while it was fresh in my memory. So, all right, clear the air. Nothing I can do about it now. I'm thankful I have an iPhone. I'm thankful I have the technology to allow me to record, and I'm thankful that I have the ability to do it again. There. Okay, so I wanted to recap my brother's wedding, because it was an important event for me and my family, and I want to remember how it went down, and I want to document how it went down. So that's what I'm doing. I've got my Twitter stream, and actually I will be able to do some things better this time, because I can make markers as I go to try and add pictures and things like that too. So if you're watching the enhanced podcast on the website, if you watch it, you'll be able to see some pictures come up. I didn't take tons of pictures. I'll tell you why. I've got a new camera and I'm not used to having it around, and I'm not used to constantly taking pictures. I tend to think more photojournalistically, so I'm looking for those moments, and if the camera's not ready, I miss them. And a lot of times I just get lost in those moments and I don't actually record them or, you know, take pictures of them. And I'm not the kind of like, let's pose, you know, I don't like those pictures as much. I prefer capturing things as they're happening, you know, getting the truth out of it. I'm an artist after all. So I don't have tons of pictures, unfortunately, but I have some good ones, and at least some that will give you an idea of what things look like. I did take a bunch of video, and I'm going to try and put that together somehow. So anyway, I'll tell you how it went down. Thursday morning, on the 15th, had to wake up at 5 a.m. And I didn't get to sleep, you know, till like 1 o'clock that night, because that's normally when I go to sleep, between 12 and 1. And so I can't go to sleep early. So plus I was a little nervous and everything. So woke up at 5 to shower and get ready, and left the house around 6:40 to catch the red line, to walk to Porter to catch the red line to go to the airport. And my flight left at 10 a.m., got there around 11:40. And so my brother picks me up, and we head back to his office. So let's see if I can do this live. Can I add a marker live? Son of a bitch, I don't think I can add a marker live. Oh, yes. P, add marker. All right. That's my brother in his office that I'm showing you. When we get there, they were celebrating their Thanksgiving, so they had this huge spread, every potluck. Everybody brought something in except for my brother. And it was great food. And so I was still on my diet at this point, because I, you know, didn't want to feel fat, not fat, but, you know, like bloated. When you go off a diet and you start eating crazy, you can feel bloated. And I'm pretty sensitive to food in general. So I was doing a low carb thing. So they had plenty of meat for me to fill up on. I don't know what I'd eaten that day, if anything. Oh, yeah, some beef jerky. Perfect flight food. So anyway, we sat at the cool kids table with some cute girls that Brian works with, and they were teasing him, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed them a lot. Next time I go, I want to definitely get Brian to bring them out to party, because they look like a lot of fun. So anyway, We ate. I got to meet some people Brian works with, and then we took, I believe at this point, we took my stuff to his house. But it could be that at that point, we just went to see my parents, who probably had just arrived. I think that actually might be the case. They drove in from Kentucky. We went to go see them and have and met them where they were having the bagel right across from the hotel. Hotel Palomar, really nice place. It was a great hotel to stay at. So I believe we picked up my parents, took them to Brian's house to, you know, hang out and relax a bit while we waited for my Uncle Dan and Aunt Annie to arrive. And it was Annie's birthday the day before, the 14th, I believe. So we wished her happy birthday when she came in, but that was later that night. So we're hanging out at the place, just kind of relaxing, talking. You know, Brian was, I don't know, probably making some arrangements, doing things. I made coffee in my Arobi AeroPress and wooed everybody with how wonderful it tastes. And if you don't know about that, go check my video section out. I talk about, I give a little Arobi demonstration. Arobi AeroPress demonstration. So that was fun, just hanging with my mom and Larry and my brother. And so at some point in the evening, we needed to go pick them up. What did we do for dinner that night? Brian brought tons of leftovers from the party that day. And so Jody was there too. It's all coming back to me. I had missed this the first time around. Jody was with us hanging out at the house. We ate leftovers. And at some point in the evening, Brian and I were going to pick up Dan and Annie. So we dropped, we took the two cars, my mom's Prius and Jody's car, Jody and Brian's car, to the hotel where we dropped my folks off. And Brian and I then took the Prius onto the airport to pick up them, to pick up Dan and Ann. And that was a fun ride. Brian and I were hanging out. I had my iPhone with me, and we were playing some LCD sound system. Daft Punk is playing at my house. Brian was digging those tracks, and I had my, you know, you have to have an adapter for the iPhone because it has a recessed headphone input, and I think I left it in my mom's car, so I'm a little bummed about that. She has the nice auxiliary input, and she has an iPod that she bought off me when I got my new MacBook Pro, and I got the free iPod Nano, not the new ones, but the earlier Nanos, with the rebates. So then I sold it to her for a steep discount, and she loves it. So anyway, we were jamming. Once we were there, we were having a great time just kind of goofing around. I live to make my brother laugh, so we were just having a good old time waiting for them. When we picked them up, brought them back to the hotel, and hung out in the hotel. So let's see if I hit P. There I go. Nice little marker there so you can see the party. I think I've got two pictures there. I'll put a couple pictures in a row of, I didn't get me and Dan. I'm, like I said, still new to the picture taking thing, but that's us in the foyer hanging out, having a couple beers. That's when the diet officially ended. And Jody was there, and she was hanging out mainly in the bar with a couple friends from Jamaica that flew in for the wedding, Monique and Patrice. They were a great couple. Enjoyed hanging out with them. We sat with them at the wedding table. So I feel like I'm talking fast right now. Is I'm talking fast? I'm probably talking fast because I did all this once before, and now I need to do it again. All right, I'll try and be mellow. But it was 40 minutes. I don't know if you wanted to sit through 40, 45 minutes of me talking about the wedding. You know what? This actually isn't for you as much as it is for me to remember this magical moment. So at some point, Brian and I took off, went back to his place. I don't believe Jody came back with us that night. Huh. Did she? No, I don't think so, but it could be. I'm starting to forget. No, it was just me and Brian because we watched an episode of The Office, and it wasn't the funniest one, but we just hung out, watched an episode of Office, went to sleep, and then the next morning, Friday morning, I had to, I could be talking fast because of this second cup of coffee. Brian and I went and picked up Katie. She got in around 10:30, 11, something like that, from she flew into Baltimore, took the train to the station. We picked her up at the station, and we had a free time to do stuff. So I'm gonna check my Twitter stream to refresh my memory. We're looking at the 16th. The 16th. The 16th is when we picked her up, and then I think we might have gone back to the house. I don't know. We had errands to run, which was to go get my tux, pick that up from Men's Warehouse. So we went, picked up a tux, and as we're walking, or as we're driving to park, I see Walt Mossberg on the corner. He's the technology writer for, is it the New York Times or the Washington Post? I think it's New York Times, but David Pogue's New York Times. Sorry, but I have to do it. I have to Google Walt Mossberg. Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal. He writes two columns. Okay. One of them, I believe, being technology, but he also, most recently, that I appreciate him for was interviewed the most recent and like first in 10 year interview with Steve Jobs and everybody's friend, our beloved leader of Microsoft. Can't say his name. It's like saying Voldemort. Just kidding. Bill Gates. It was a great interview. I got nothing against Bill Gates. Really don't. I just don't like his software. So we got my tux fitted and we finally picked out the ties. We settled on things. Brian had bought like 50 ties, it seems. We said, okay, I'm going to wear black and Brian's going to stand out wearing a red, maroonish, burgundy kind of tie. It was really nice tie. So we had that settled. Everything was great. Then we went back. The girls separate. The guys and the girls separated. Jody and Corey, the maid of honor, and Katie, Corey, and Jody went to go to to do their thing at the Carnegie Science Center, which is where the wedding was. Amazing, beautiful building. Maybe I can put a picture in of that. It was just a gorgeous place. So we all had to go do our thing. They had to go set up, and Brian and Jason and Corey's husband and I, who was the best man. And a little side note, Brian took forever to ask me to be the best man. I knew I was going to be the best man. I mean, everyone knew I was going to be. It had been spoken about, but he hadn't explicitly asked me. So it became a running joke. Like, I don't think I'm actually going to be in the wedding because I haven't been invited. And finally, Brian actually asked me, and it was funny. So I was the best man. So we had to go get the alcohol. And I could probably put a picture of that. I know I took video. I don't know if I took a shot. Filled this truck up with tons of alcohol and then carry it up the, well, we had an elevator, but we had to load it into the place where we were having the wedding. Then once that was done, we had to stay there and do a little rehearsal because Brian or Katie, Jason, Corey, Katie, myself, Jason, and Corey had to hold the huppah. And the huppah is like a canopy that you stand under when you're getting married. It's a Jewish custom tradition. And ours wasn't like, it was a freestanding or it was we had to hold it. It wasn't, you know, some of them are like gazebos that are standing by themselves, but we had to hold the poles, and that was our contribution to the wedding party. And it was a really nice, I really liked the idea, and it was really sacred. It was really cool. So we had to practice a little bit, you know, okay, how do we do it? What's the logistics of it all? Who holds what, where, first, when, why, so on and so on. It was good. Once we did that, we had some free time before the rehearsal dinner. So I think we just went back to Brian's house. That's when Jody probably went back to her hotel with her family. We hung at Brian's house, got dressed, and then went to the hotel to then walk over to where we were having the rehearsal dinner. So we get to the hotel, and there are dozens of family members. My dad was right there by the door. First time I had seen him in actually a few years. We talk a lot, but just hadn't seen each other physically in a few years. So finally saw my dad, and you know, that was overwhelming. I mean, I wanted to just hang out, but then all of a sudden I'm bombarded by family. His wife was there, Sue. I hugged my aunt. If they're on my dad's side of the family, they're aunts. My mom's their aunts. I don't know. I'm just inconsistent. I feel funny about it all. Aunt, Aunt Esta and Uncle Ernie, hadn't seen them in, oh my God, 15 years? But it was great to see them. And then all of a sudden there's tons of other family. The Bill and Donna Jones were standing there. Paul Blanchard, I went to school with his son, and his daughter, who died of skin cancer. That was sad. She was a beautiful person. And his new wife, I forget her name, I'm sorry, Sandy Sue? It's an S name. Got to meet them, and then I'm like, all right, I got to go, you know, meet some people. I'll talk to you more a little bit later. It was, everything was so fast. The joke was, it's like speed dating on steroids. You get 5 minutes with everybody. And so I saw all of Larry's kids, which I hadn't seen in a long time, and some of them longer than others, and nieces. So got to see them and hug everybody there, and, you know, trying to, like, the small talk is the hardest for me. Like, what do you say? It's like, wow. Other than, I just want to look at you. I don't want to know what you're doing, because, I mean, I couldn't even process it. So, you know, it was awkward. I was a bit flustered. Saw them. Then I had to I saw Jody's family and had to hug all of them. And again, not had to, but, you know, it's like coming at you left and right. So finally it was like, okay, now we're going to the restaurant. Whew, we can get out of this kind of just atmosphere where you're in the foyer just hugging and trying to find, you know, what to say. Which part of the million things do you want to say? Which one do you actually say? So finally we said, okay, time to go to the restaurant. So we go to the rehearsal dinner, which is at the Mai Tai restaurant on 1219th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. Man, the food was awesome. I sat next to Larry's kids, and across the table was one of Jody's parents' friends, Neil. And I want to say his wife's name was Nancy, but I don't think that's right. I'm sorry about that. But they were fun, had lots of good conversation with them. He's a psychologist in Brookline, or he lives in Brookline and in the area, does psychology and stuff. Katie sat to my right, and to the right of her sat a really cool story. On Facebook, you know, this is Web 2.0, social networking. On Facebook, I get a message from my cousin, Laura, who is saying, look, I'd like to be able to come as a surprise, because she didn't RSVP, she didn't think she could make it or whatever. And I'm like, yes, 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 you have to come. So we go back and forth a couple times. She finally says, yes, I got a flight, I can come in. And she can get flights, no problem, she's a pilot. And she gets the flight, lets me know what's gonna happen. So we're texting back and forth the whole time. I'm giving her, you know, the addresses, you know, iPhone to BlackBerry. And it was a fun little thing. And I, so I even told my mom, I've got a special surprise guest for you. And I even told Jody that day, earlier that day, I asked her to add two. And I told her who, but I didn't tell Brian. I didn't want anyone knowing. And she didn't want anyone knowing. Wanted it to be a big surprise because mom hadn't seen her since we saw her for her mom, Joan, her funeral, which was a couple years ago on right before 4th of July. We went to London to, scatter her ashes, London Bridge or London Tower. And it was sad. It was a really meaningful moment to the family. And so mom hadn't seen her till then. And, you know, it was, she meant a lot to her. So it was going to be a huge surprise. And so we're texting back and forth. And I say, okay, we'll let the cat out of the bag when you get there for the rehearsal dinner. So she shows up and I say, Mom, check it out. Mom sees her and is just blown away. And I had a little, that I kept the secret. Everyone was excited. They were happy that I managed to help keep this a secret and help organize this. And how did I do it? How did we do it? Through Facebook and text messaging. That's just cool. This was a technological wedding in many ways. If it had been my wedding, I would have had a Google Calendar for everybody to see addresses, dates, and stuff, and anyone could subscribe to it, and you know, you can keep track of it on your phone, and I would have had some instructions for the older folks on how to do this if you've got a cell phone or if you've got web access, how to print it out. But that's me. I would have had more technology involved. I would have had a Facebook wedding forum, fun stuff like that, but it was kind of like that in, the periphery. So anyway, she sat there with her ex-husband, I believe, Steve. I'm pretty sure they're not married anymore, but he came with her, which was nice. And then also at that table was Dan and Annie. So that was fun. The food was great. Here's my dessert. Check out the podcast. You can see it. So good. I think I took video of the food. I don't think I actually have still shots of the food, so you won't get to see that. So, after that, everyone leaves. Brian, Katie, and I go find a dive and play a bunch of pool. I suck at pool, but we played anyway. I actually had a couple shots that made you think I was a pro and I could have been a pool shark, but after, a couple more shots, you realize, no, he's not a shark. He sucks. But we have fun anyway. And we drank a pitcher of beer and made it home. So next day is the actual day. We have free time in the morning. I don't know when we got up, but we dropped Katie off to get her nails done with all the girls. Brian and I go back and, Brian's packing for his trip to Fiji. Which he leaves on Sunday, the day after the wedding. We pick Katie up after she gets her nails done, we go to a crepe place right nearby and have brunch, and that was really delicious. I had a mimosa to try and relax me. That day, that morning, while, we're waiting and dropping off Katie and stuff, I had been asking Brian questions about Jody and when they met and how many years ago and, trying to get material for the toast, right? I'm the best man. I've got to make the toast. And I'm like, not worried about writing it. I knew I'd write it. It wouldn't take me long to write something good. That's how I roll. Yeah. But I was nervous about giving the toast. So I had the toast written, wrote it on some index cards for safety. But the way I actually did the toast, and I'll mention it more later, was I wrote it on my in Apple Mail as a note and had it synced to my iPhone. Okay, so anyway, I'm practicing the toast here and there. I wrote it in a way that I could say a sentence, Or I could read a sentence and it would be short enough that, and each sentence had a pause after, and then I could say it, or read it, and then basically I could it would be memorized, and I could say the sentence, look down, read the sentence, say the sentence, and so it would be, nice with pauses for a reflection, and I wouldn't have to be staring at this thing and reading verbatim. Excuse me. So I'm practicing that, reading it at breakfast. I've got my iPhone with me so I can practice here and there and everywhere. So we take Katie, we after brunch, we get home. Katie and I pack because we're not staying at Brian's anymore. We're staying at the hotel that night. We roll into the hotel around 3-ish. We were hoping to meet my dad and hang out, but we just really didn't have time, so we had to get dressed. I had to take a shower, so I get showered, dressed into my tux. Brian gets dressed in his tux, and we head over with Rob, Brian's a college friend, Rob and his girlfriend. She's a nice, cute girl, Diana. We went over there because Rob was going to be the witness to the signing of this traditional document. I forget the name of that, but so we go over there. Katie stayed back so she could have a little more time and came with my folks. We get to the hotel. We get ushered into the groom's room, which is a beautiful room. Let's see if I can put a picture of that. I'm taking some pictures. We're hanging out with the immediate family, aunts, uncles, my dad, my mom, putting the corsage on Brian. Katie's there. We're talking. I'm trying to not throw up. In fact, it's during this point that I go ahead and I utter. So here's the utter.
So the wedding's starting to happen. Formal pictures have been taken. Brian signed the contract, which means he's officially married. And the family's all here, and now we're waiting in the back room to go out and do our thing. I gotta say, I'm feeling like I could throw up a little bit, and I'm sure Brian's probably a little worse than me, but it's all good. And it was a beautiful ceremony so far, so looking forward to seeing the bride. That'd be the update. I decided to not live blog the wedding, being the best man standing up there with him. If only, right? All right, cheers.
That was just a little how I was feeling at that point. I can't remember, I'm saying it now. I didn't hear the utter like you did, but I can't remember if that was before or after the signing of the document. I can't remember because I'm saying this in real time. Didn't get to listen to the utter like you. But anyway, the document gets signed, and the rabbi's in there, and she's a wonderful, really short, quintessential Jewish rabbi woman that you just love her to death, and she did a great job. But she was telling us about this document and reading from it, some of it, and explaining how it goes. And we had a couple blessings. Bill Jones gave a great blessing, and it was nice. So after Brian signs it and it's witnessed by Rob, it gets the girls take it over to where the bridal party is, and then they sign it. And at this point, they're officially married. But then comes the ceremony, and so the actual wedding ceremony was at 6:30. So I go out there, and actually in the room also we were getting tons of family photos, just my side of the family, the groom's side. So anyway, at this point, the ceremony's about to start. I head out to the where the food is going to be, and the door is shut to the actual area where the ceremony is. And the doors open, Corey and I walk arm in arm out. Katie and Jason are waiting for us in that front row. We grab them, but we meet them and do grab the huppah. and we get it in our places, and then Brian walks my mom and my dad out, and you know, that's all cool. Brian shows up, I give him a touch on the arm, you know, to let him know, to give him the last bit of my strength. And then we see Jody, and she is absolutely stunning. I'm not going to try and describe her dress because, man, I just don't even know what to say. It was beautiful. Maybe I can put a picture, but I don't think I really can. I don't think I have tons of pictures that I can show. But if I can, I'll put a marker there. She looked absolutely stunning, and I almost lost it. I almost started crying when I saw her, you know, tears of joy, of course. And she walks down with her mom and her dad, and they let her go. And then Brian and Jody make a couple circles around each other, and the ceremony begins. And the rabbi does a beautiful job. She lightens it when it needs to be lightened. She deepens it when it needs to be deepened. There was chanting and singing and humming, and it was very sacred. She led blessings by some of the family members and friends of Jody and Brian. She invited Bill Jones to help in some of the singing towards the end, and in to say a blessing. That was really beautiful. Let's see. She also invoked the spirits of our grandparents who could not be there with us. And that meant a lot to me. I seriously got really teary when she brought that up, because I think about them. And I only knew my grandmothers, and I wasn't close with either of them, except to say that I, you know, cried when they died and loved them, but didn't have a serious bond with them. But and I never knew my grandfathers, though they knew me. And, you know, once in a while I feel their spirit, and I call to them for strength from beyond. You know, whether you believe in that or not, I don't care. It's what I do, and it does give me some strength. And so when she brought their spirit into the room, I could feel it. So the ceremony was just absolutely beautiful. And I've got to say, looking out at the audience was beautiful too. It was multi-ethnic, multi-religious. There were multiple perspectives in that room. And that was really an important part of it for me, to see all of these wonderful people of different nationalities and religions coming together for a common cause to bless my brother and Jody in their union. It was gorgeous. It was colorful. It was simply gorgeous. And, you know, being a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white guy, I'm bored with that. It's just, you know, I love culture. I love diversity. And to see all that diversity, just, it really was a big part of what this wedding was. Because my brother, man, he's a world traveler. He's a life of adventure. And you know, I wish I had more of that in my life. I was in Boulder, Colorado, which is one of the most homogenous places in the world. So to come out of that and move into Boston has been a great step in, like, realizing, hey, there's more than one perspective. The upper middle class white perspective, right? And then when I step into my brother's world, I even get more perspective in it. It really allows me to have more understanding, compassion, love, and understanding, did I say that? You know, of the world. So that was a huge part of the wedding. So ceremony at this point is over. Brian breaks the glass, which is cool. I love the Jewish traditions. I really do. They're so fun. We head out of the ceremony. The doors are closed behind us. We get to take our breath. And then we head into the reception hall. But to meet people and greet people and have a couple drinks, right? And at this point, I head downstairs to go to the bathroom, and I utter again.
The ceremony is over. It was absolutely beautiful. It was in Hebrew, and it was Christian and Jewish. It was amazing. And so my brother is now married. And now I've got to go and meet everybody, and it's like speed dating. You get about 5 minutes with everybody, and you get to tell them your life story in that 5 minutes. So wish me luck, and bless my brother's union with his beautiful wife, Jody. Mazel tov.
And back from the udder, I head back upstairs, meet people. Now we're taking tons of pictures and we're getting to talk, and so I'm being called into pictures and stuff, and I might have some pictures and video of that. If I can put some pictures there, I will, of those moments. So after the pictures are taken, we all start to head into the dining room and we eat. I had crab cakes, and it was fantastic. The food was great. We had salad, wine. They brought out a dessert tray, and you know, Katie and I scarfed down tons of desserts. Then comes the most nerve-wracking part of, and the reason why I felt so sick about the whole thing and nervous about the whole thing. The toast. All right. I didn't stress out about it too much the days leading into it. It was on my mind, and it wasn't until that day that I'm like, okay, I'll feel better once it's done. So I get the toast, or it's time to stand up now and do the toast. I have it on my iPhone, okay? So I can palm it. I don't have to read off cue cards. I can try and do it discreetly. However, if you're using an iPhone, it's not discreet. Everyone notices. And I had tons of compliments afterwards about how cool it was that this guy's reading his best man toast off of an iPhone. Some people mistakenly called it a Palm Pilot, which it is not, but that's okay. They were still tickled about the use of technology for the toast. And I gotta say, it made it so much easier. So the toast went fine. As I'm giving the toast, the first part, you know, I get everyone's attention. I'm feeling good. I'm like, okay. I say a couple lines. I'm like, oh, good. I actually was able to say two sentences without having to look down. And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling pretty pleased with myself. Once I feel pleased with myself, I start getting self-conscious. I start realizing how I'm lifting my glass every time I talk. And I'm like, why am I doing that? And then I realize that the glass I'm holding is shaking a little bit. My hand is shaking. And I'm like, oh no, my hand is shaking. And then, you know, it just starts falling apart in terms of self-consciousness. And nervousness is to be expected. I don't think anyone expected anything otherwise. But I don't think it came off as like overly nervous or anything. From what I heard, they could have just been being nice, but yeah, it was a nervous speech. But even so, the words carried, and once that was over, I was like, whew. And you know, I was just happy that I got to use technology throughout this wedding, like for the toast, for the surprise, using Facebook and text messaging and all of that. And you know, I was keeping track of a ton of people, text message, because I'm not going to call everybody. I just don't have that kind of energy. So it was fun. And once that was over, and then Corey did hers, and Corey blew it away. She had tons of laughs. In fact, she used a little bit of she didn't get this speech from this or that. She got it from Google. And that was kind of one of the lines I was thinking about using, but I've thought against it, but it got a great laugh. So I'm glad that I didn't use it, because then she would have been out of joke. But she had a great toast, and then, you know, some other family members spoke, and it was great. And finally, we got to relax. And then they opened the dance floor. So there was tons of dancing and lots of conversations. I got to have some great conversations with Monique and Patrice and John, who Brian works with, and Ian, Brian's friend from college, and my uncle, lot, just great conversations. It was a lot of fun, a lot of dancing, minor drinking. I definitely wasn't getting drunk. I think it ended around 11:30 or so. You know, it's closing down, and I could not find the bag that had the rings that I was responsible for. I wasn't scared about it because it's a closed party. The only people there are friends of Brian and Jody and family, and no one's going to steal anything. I just wanted to know who had it, but I couldn't find who had it. I realized the next day who had it, and that was Corey. And she didn't realize what she had until she looked in and saw, oh my God, I made off with the rings, my brother's cell phone, everything. I was just glad that it finally, you know, okay, we can let that one go. I felt a little bit like a failure on that end. Like, oh, lose the rings. Oh, great. But I didn't lose the rings. And I knew I didn't lose the rings, so I wasn't that stressed. Though I was like, oh, man, I should have kept a better eye on it. I'm such an idiot. So we went to the hotel afterwards, and we hung out in the bar till like 3 a.m. Drank a little bit, ate tons more cake. The cake was the best cake I've ever had. Chocolate cake. I still want more cake. You know, we had it at dinner. We also had it that I had like a couple pieces in the bar. So we hung around. I hung out a lot with Ian and Ian Anderson. Jethro Tull, not from Jethro Tull, and not my old bass player named Ian Anderson. Another Ian Anderson. We finally, you know, went to bed around 3. Lousy night's sleep. Probably all the food, excitement, drinking, you name it. Just really didn't get much sleep. Had to kind of wake up fairly early to get going for the brunch we were having the next day at my brother's house. That was set for 11 o'clock. I think we made it there pretty much on time. That was cool. We had some bagels. They opened up their presents, and we just hung out for a while. Then Jody's family left. They started packing for their trip to Fiji, which was kind of funny. I said to my brother, going to Fiji. I hate to tell you, but it's raining. And we looked at the widget on my iPhone and saw that it was raining, and we both had a good laugh about that. Like, oh, great. But it was just funny. I'm sure they're having a great time. And then, you know, so we were packing up, getting stuff ready. I fly back to Boston. Katie flies back a little bit later than me. So I took a cab to Boston, got on the red line, which closed down, you know, a few stops into it. And I had to get on this bus shuttle, right around Boston Commons. And, that shuttle took forever, and it was kind of warm. So I was feeling hot in all my clothes, and the shuttle drops us off at MIT, and I'm like, oh my God, now I'm gonna have to take another T ride to Porter, and then I'm gonna have to walk. I'm like, fuck this. I grabbed a cab, spent $20 or whatever to get home. I had about an hour to kill while I waited for Katie, so I think I watched, you know, a TV show that I had downloaded. Then I pick her up, we grab a pizza, come home, probably watch a movie or some TV or something, and crashed big time. The next day, Monday, I didn't get out of bed all day. I might have showered, but I didn't leave the bed. All I did was watch TV shows that I had downloaded. I needed that to recuperate. I can't imagine how Brian and Jody felt, because they had like a 24-hour flight practically to get to Fiji. I happen to know they're there safe, so good for them. Tuesday was pretty mellow day too. I think I did some work on Tuesday, Wednesday, and now we have Thanksgiving on Thursday, where I went with Katie to her uncle's house in New Hampshire. He smoked a turkey. We had stuffing, not dressing. The food was fantastic. Ate about between three and five pieces of pie. I'm really not sure. Definitely made the 3,000 calories that you would expect. Here's a picture of it, right here. And Let's see. That was fun. Yeah, good Thanksgiving with Katie's family. And the next day, yesterday, Friday, I got to see a good friend, John Switchblade Sousa, perform at a house concert that night. It was good to connect with him. And here we are today. It's my, cousin Laura's birthday, who I mentioned was the big surprise of the wedding, the surprise guest. So I need to give her a little shout out. Happy birthday. And I'm just chilling today. Katie's chilling. Actually, she's not chilling. She's writing a paper. Poor thing. That's it. This is the second time I had to tell this story. It looks like I'm moving up towards the time where I finished last time. But I know that I've pretty much covered it all. And so I just want to say that I'm really happy that I've got a new sister. I love Jody. I'm really happy for my brother. The document that they signed is a work of art. And I know that that will provide them a lot of strength as it gets challenging, because you don't want to destroy this beautiful piece of art. I guess that's all. Thanks for, bearing with me. This was really more for documentation than it was entertainment value. I just really wanted to remember that magical moment in my life and in my family's life. So to Brian and Jody, I wish you the best. I wish you nothing but love. And I'm thankful for the both of you. I'm thankful that you made me and Katie a part of your wonderful day. I'm thankful that I have such a beautiful, wonderful family and wonderful friends, a beautiful and wonderful girlfriend, Katie. I'm thankful for the ability to share this with you using my Mac. I'm thankful for my Mac. And thankful for my iPhone, even though it fucked up the last recording of this. I'm truly blessed, and I hope you feel blessed too. Thanks for listening, and thanks.